There are places that look ordinary from the outside. A quiet road. A trailer near a lake. A small desert town where the sun bakes the ground by day and the darkness rolls in heavy at night. Places where people drive by without slowing down. Places where neighbors wave. Places where nothing seems wrong. But sometimes evil does not announce itself with blood on the walls or screams in the street. Sometimes evil hides behind a locked door, behind a fence, behind a man who goes to work, pays bills, talks normally, and blends into the background. And sometimes, the scariest monsters are not the ones hiding in abandoned houses or dark forests. Sometimes they are living right beside us. In Elephant Butte, New Mexico, near the water and the desert, David Parker Ray built something that would become infamous. He called it his toy box. But it was not a place of toys. It was a chamber of control, a room designed for terror, a place where women disappeared into darkness and came out changed forever, if they came out at all. This is not just a story about one man. It is a story about survival, about voices that were doubted, about evidence that raised more questions than answers, about victims who may never be named, and about one woman's desperate escape that finally cracked open the door to a nightmare. This is the story of David Parker Ray, the Toy Box Killer. Welcome to Among Monsters. Today we are going into one of the darkest true crime cases in American history. And I want to say this before we begin. This episode involves kidnapping, sexual violence, torture, and captivity. I will not describe the abuse in graphic detail because these women were real human beings, not horror props. Their pain does not need to be turned into entertainment to be understood. What matters is what happened, how it was allowed to go on, and how one survivor's courage helped expose a monster. David Ray Parker was born in 1939 in New Mexico. From the outside, there was nothing about him that screamed future predator. That is what makes cases like this so disturbing. We want monsters to look different. We want warning signs carved into their faces. We want evil to be obvious. But David Ray looked like a regular man. He worked as a mechanic. He was described as handy, technical, and inventive. He had relationships. He had a family. He moved through the world like someone ordinary. But behind that ordinary image was a man with a mind obsessively focused on domination, control, and cruelty. Ray was not impulsive in the way some violent offenders are. His crimes were not sudden explosions of rage. They were planned, built, organized, engineered. This is one of the most terrifying things about this case. The toy box was not a random location. It was not a basement he happened to use. It was designed. It was stocked. It was soundproofed. It was prepared for victims. And that means every tool, every restraint, every lock, every detail represented time, thought, intention. Ray did not stumble into evil. He constructed it. For years, investigators would later believe that David Parker Ray may have been connected to multiple victims, though he was never convicted of murder. The exact number of people harmed by him remains unknown. That unknown is one of the haunting shadows of this case. Because when police finally entered his trailer, they found more than evidence of one crime. They found evidence of a pattern, a system, a private world of violence, and maybe, just maybe, the belongings of women who never made it home. David Ray lived near Elephant Butte Lake, a place that sounds almost peaceful, blue water surrounded by desert, a destination for fishing, boating, and weekend trips. But in Ray's hands, That remote setting became part of the trap. Isolation protected him. Distance protected him. The quiet protected him. Victims could scream, but there was no one close enough to hear. And inside the toy box, Ray created a psychological weapon just as powerful as the physical space itself. He reportedly used recordings, instructions, threats, a rehearsed script of terror meant to break victims before they even understood where they were. Imagine waking up confused, drugged, disoriented. You do not know where you are. You do not know how long you've been gone. You do not know who has you. Then a voice begins explaining the rules. Not yelling, not panicked, calm, controlled, practiced. That is what makes it so cold. Ray wanted his victims to understand that he had planned for their fear. He wanted them to feel that escape was impossible. He wanted them to believe that the world outside had already lost them. But he was wrong, because one woman refused to become another secret. Her name was Cynthia Vigil. In March of 1999, Cynthia was taken to Albuquerque and brought to Ray's property near Elephant Butte. She was held captive. She was restrained. She was threatened. And for days, she survived inside a nightmare that most people could not imagine. But Cynthia watched. She waited. She paid attention. Survival is not always loud. Sometimes survival is noticing where the keys are. Sometimes survival is staying awake inside terror. Sometimes survival is pretending to be weaker than you are until the moment comes. And Cynthia found her moment. When Ray was away, she fought back against Cindy Hendy, Ray's girlfriend and accomplice. Cynthia managed to free herself. She ran, injured, terrified, and still restrained. She fled through the desert and found help. That escape changed everything. Because once Cynthia made it out, the nightmare was no longer hidden. Police arrived. David Parker Ray was arrested. Cindy Hendy was arrested. And investigators entered the toy box. What they found shocked even seasoned law enforcement. The trailer was filled with restraints, tools, devices, personal items, and evidence that suggested Ray's crimes may have extended far beyond the known survivors. This was not the aftermath of a single act. This was a crime scene built over time. Investigators began asking the questions that still linger today. How many victims were there? The answer is still not known. Some claims around this case mention dozens of possible victims, but officially, David Parker Ray was never convicted of murder. No confirmed murder conviction tied him to the suspected missing victims, and that matters, because true crime has to be careful with the line between what is proven and what is suspected. What is proven is horrific enough. Women were kidnapped. Women were held. Women were tortured. Women survived things that should never happen to anyone. What is suspected is even darker. That some victims never escaped. That some names were never recovered. That some families may have spent years wondering where their daughters, sisters, mothers, or friends went, never knowing their answers might have been hidden in the desert. Ray's case became even more complicated because some survivors had fragmented memories. That was not weakness. That was trauma. And according to reports, Ray used drugs as part of his control, possibly to confuse memory and make victims doubt themselves. That is a predator's dream. A victim who cannot remember everything. A victim who fears no one will believe her. A victim who sounds uncertain because the crime itself was designed to make her uncertain. And that is one of the cruelest parts of this case. Ray did not only attack bodies. He attacked memory, identity, reality. He tried to send women back into the world carrying terror they could not fully explain. But the survivors did explain. They came forward. They spoke. And because they spoke, the mask came off. Another woman, Kelly Garrett, said she had been abducted by Ray years earlier. Her story was difficult, fragmented, and painful. But it fit the pattern. The pattern mattered. Because predators like Ray depend on each victim believing she is alone. But when survivors speak, patterns emerge. The isolated becomes connected. The unbelievable becomes undeniable. The hidden becomes evidence. Cindy Hendy's role in this case is chilling too. People often want to imagine a predator as a lone monster. But Ray was not always alone. Hendy was accused of helping him. And that raises another disturbing truth. Sometimes evil does not just need a mastermind. Sometimes it needs permission, silence, participation, someone to open the door, someone to lure, someone to guard, someone to look away. Cindy Hendy eventually cooperated with authorities and gave information about Ray. But cooperation does not erase the harm. And the involvement of others deepens the horror because it means there were more chances for someone to stop it, more chances for someone to speak, more chances for one decision to save a life. But again and again, the victims were the ones forced to be brave. David Parker Ray's trial process was complicated. There were legal battles, questions about evidence, separate cases, survivors placed under scrutiny, and once again, the justice system asked traumatized women to prove that their nightmares were real. Ray was eventually sentenced to more than 223 years in prison, but he died in 2002 before investigators could get all the answers they wanted from him. That death closed one door, but it did not close the case in the hearts of many, because there were still items, clothing, jewelry, objects recovered from the investigation. Things that may have belonged to unknown women. Years later, the FBI released images of hundreds of those items, asking the public for help identifying them. Think about that. A necklace, a shirt, a piece of clothing, something small enough to fit in a drawer. But to a family, that object could be everything. Proof, a clue, the last trace of someone loved. In cases like this, objects become witnesses. They cannot speak, but they can point. They can say, I belong to someone. Someone wore me. Someone had a life. Someone had a name. And that is what gets lost when a killer becomes infamous. The killer's nickname takes over. The toy box killer. The chamber. The whore. The legend. But behind all of that are women. Real women. Someone who survived. Someone who may still be unidentified. Some whose story may never be fully known. David Parker Ray wanted control over their voices. He wanted to decide what they remembered. He wanted to decide whether they were believed. But Cynthia Vigil's escape destroyed the illusion of his power because she ran. She survived. She spoke. And once she spoke, the world finally saw what had been hidden. There is something deeply important about Cynthia's survival. It was not clean. It was not cinematic in a Hollywood way. It was desperate, messy, terrifying, human. She was not rescued by a detective bursting through a door. She rescued herself. And sometimes in true crime, we do not say that enough. We talk about the monster. We talk about the evidence. We talk about the trial. But we need to say this clearly. Cynthia Vigil is the reason the toy box was exposed. Her courage mattered. Her survival mattered. Her voice mattered. And every survivor who came forward after her mattered too. This case also forces us to confront the way society treats vulnerable women. Many of Ray's victims were women who could be dismissed easily by people who did not want to listen. Women struggling. Women on the margins. Women whose disappearances may not have triggered the same urgency as others. Predators understand that. They often choose victims not because those victims are weak, but because the world has already decided not to protect them well enough. That is not an accident. That is part of the hunting ground. The toy box case is not only about one sadistic man. It is about the system that allows certain people to disappear quietly It is about the danger of disbelief. It is about how trauma can make testimony sound imperfect and how predators rely on that imperfection. Because a survivor may not remember the exact time. She may not remember every sequence. She may freeze. She may contradict herself. She may sound confused. But trauma is not a script. Trauma is shattered glass. And expecting a survivor to hand over a perfectly organized timeline of the worst moments of her life is one of the ways justice fails people. David Parker Ray understood manipulation. He understood fear. He understood shame. He understood that if he could make victims feel dirty, confused, or unbelievable, he could keep them silent. But he underestimated survival. He underestimated rage. He underestimated the human need to live. And he underestimated Cynthia Vigil. When we look at Ray's life, it is tempting to ask, when did he become a monster? Was it childhood? Was it fantasy? Was it opportunity? Was it the first time he hurt someone and got away with it? There may never be a satisfying answer. And maybe that is because no explanation can ever equal the damage. Understanding a predator's background can help investigators, psychologists, and law enforcement identify patterns. But it does not excuse. It does not soften. It does not turn cruelty into tragedy for an offender. The tragedy belongs to the victims. Ray made choices, again and again. He chose to build the room. He chose to abduct. He chose to harm. He chose to keep going. And others chose to help him or stay silent. That is where the horror lives. Not in a sudden madness, but in repeated decisions. The toy box was not built in one night, and neither was the monster. One of the most haunting elements of this case is the possibility that there are families who still do not know. Maybe they remember a woman who vanished. Maybe they reported her missing and were told she probably left. Maybe they were dismissed. Maybe they stopped calling because every call reopened the wound. Maybe they still have a box of her things in a closet, a photograph, a birthday card, a favorite jacket, and somewhere in the FBI's released images, there may be an item they would recognize. That possibility is devastating, because justice is not only a sentence. Justice is also a name returned, a body found, a family told the truth, a survivor believed. Ray's sentence was long enough that he would never be free, but his death meant many answers died with him. He never gave a full accounting. He never named every victim. He never offered real closure. And in a case like this, closure may be too clean a word anyway. There is no closing something like this. There is only carrying it differently. For survivors, the end of the court case does not end the trauma. For families, a suspect's death does not end the searching. For investigators, unanswered questions do not stop echoing. The toy box is gone from the shadows now. But the darkness it revealed still matters, because cases like this teach us what predators can do when victims are ignored. They teach us that evil can be organized, patient, practical. They teach us that a person can hide monstrous behavior behind normal routines. And they teach us that one survivor's voice can bring an entire hidden world crashing down. David Parker Ray wanted his victims powerless. He wanted them nameless. He wanted them erased. But he failed. Because Cynthia Vigil escaped. Because other survivors spoke. Because investigators preserved the evidence. Because the FBI released the items. Because people still search. Because we still say the victims matter more than the monster. That is the responsibility of telling this story. Not to glorify him. Not to turn the toy box into a haunted attraction. Not to repeat his words for shock value. But to remember what he tried to take. Safety. Memory. Identity. Freedom. And to honor the people who survived him. There is a line in many true crime cases where the story stops being about what happened and starts being about what we do with what happened. Do we listen differently? Do we believe vulnerable people sooner? Do we treat missing women on the margins with urgency? Do we understand that trauma can sound fragmented and still be true? Do we stop asking why she didn't escape sooner and start asking how he was able to keep hurting people for so long? Those are the questions that matter, because monsters like David Parker Ray do not appear out of nowhere. They move through cracks, cracks in systems, cracks in attention, cracks in compassion, cracks in who gets believed. And every time we close one of those cracks, we make it harder for the next predator to hide. The desert keeps secrets well. Wind covers tracks. Heat bleaches the earth. Night falls fast. But some secrets fight their way back to the surface. In 1999, a woman ran from a trailer in New Mexico and dragged the truth into the light. She was terrified. She was hurt. But she was alive. And because she lived, the world learned the name David Parker Ray. But more importantly, the world learned the truth of what survivors had endured. The Toy Box Killer is remembered as one of America's most disturbing criminals, but his victims should be remembered as more than what he did to them. They were people before him. They were people after him. They were not his trophies. They were not his secrets. They were not erased. And for every unknown woman who may be connected to this case, we say this: you deserve to be searched for. You deserved to be protected. You deserved a world that noticed, and your name still matters. David Parker Ray died in prison, but the questions he left behind are still alive. How many were there? Who were they? Could someone have stopped him sooner? And how many other monsters are still hiding behind ordinary doors? That is the part that stays with you. Not just what happened in Elephant Butte, but the knowledge that evil does not always look like evil. Sometimes it looks like a man with a job, a man with tools, a man with a trailer, a man nobody suspects until someone escapes. And that is why we tell these stories. Not because they are easy, not because they are entertaining, but because silence is where monsters grow. And truth, even painful truth, is how we drag them into the light. This has been Among Monsters. I'm your host, Maya Vale. And tonight, we remember the survivors, the unidentified, and the voices that refuse to disappear.